Welcome to Chapter 78 of the Kinsmen Die podcast, home of fantasy fiction based on Norse mythology that's written and read by me, Matt Bishop. In this podcast, I read my first novel, Kinsmen Die, one chapter at a time. And with each episode, when it makes sense, I provide some commentary about the source materials I've referenced in the text. This week, we're back with Odin, who, the last time we saw him, had taken the shape of a dead man named Wayfarer. Odin took this disguise so that the dead witch Angerboda, whom he summoned, would not recognize him. And that's because she hates Odin for what he did to her and her children. Odin wants to speak with Angerboda because he believes she might know, and perhaps be directly involved in, what is happening to Baldur. Remember that Baldur cannot be hurt because his spirit was placed in mistletoe and then hidden away. But someone found that mistletoe and cut out its heart, which is why Baldur is having those deathly dreams. Frigg is also having visions of a dead Baldur speaking to her from a burning ship. In the last chapter, the Wayfarer and Yelena struck a deal. He would tell her the story of his death. In return, she would truthfully answer his questions regarding Baldur. Let's rejoin them now. Chapter 78, Odin. A faint smile lurked in the corners of the witch's eyes. The silence grew bowstring taut between them. She seemed to savor it. Mauni had slipped below the western sea. Sol's fingertips brushed the eastern sky. The Wayfarer broke the silence.
"With respect, great lady, you know the power of the bargain we made. I would prefer you speak freely, but if you force my hand, I will compel you."
"Oh, I'll speak, Wayfarer. I'm just wondering, do you truly want to know what I know?"
"What I want has nothing to do with it. The Valfather bade me ask, and return with answers."
The witch smoothed her fine black hair, caught it up in the circle of thumb and forefinger, and draped it over one shoulder. She began to plait its length. The gesture was so like that of a living woman that the Wayfarer chose to wait for Angerboda to continue. Odin's mind, submerged beneath the Wayfarer's ocean of memories, swam upward, a dead-eyed wolf of the sea. As dawn's reddish rays clawed their way through the sickly trees behind the witch, her sharp gaze seemed to pierce the veil of the Wayfarer's memories and stare into those dead, black eyes beneath them. She finished her braid, smoothed her dress, and clasped her hands together. "Know my words as true, Wayfarer, for our bargain compels it. Gjoll's mistress prepares a seat of honor for Baldur." Odin, that dead-eyed sea-wolf beneath the Wayfarer's memories, thrashed as if struck by a harpoon. The Wayfarer himself couldn't help but gape and stumble backward.
"Oh yes, Wayfarer," Angerboda continued, emphasizing his name, even as she drifted closer to the barrier that had flared when she tested it before.
A hand's breadth away, she said,
"The mead here is brewed for Baldur. Hel prepares a welcoming feast. The long benches have been dragged into her drab hall, now made bright with rings of gold and silver. She adds a tall chair atop her own platform to honor Yig's bright, beautiful son. Eljudnir will, for a time, be warmed with gold's yellow glow."
And lit by the red dawn, her smile reminded the Wayfarer of the bloody froth that lingered on the ocean after those scaly-backed monsters had eaten his shipmates. As if she could sense the turmoil within him, her smile widened.
"That's not possible," the Wayfarer said. "All know that bright Baldur cannot be harmed."
She laughed.
"Of course it's possible. All things die. Asir, Jotun, everyone and everything eventually sets sail upon the Gjoll."
The Wayfarer brandished his staff as if it were a spear. Golden flames erupted from its tip.
"How? How does the Valfather's son die?"
"A twig," she giggled. Her eyes lingered on the staff just as the smile lingered on her face. "The merest branch cut from the golden bough. Far famed will that branch become."
The Wayfarer shook his head.
"What? You speak in riddles, witch."
But Odin knew exactly what Angerboda meant. He swam higher till the Wayfarer himself was little more than a threadbare sail. Odin urged the Wayfarer to say,
"But who? Who would kill Baldur? Who wants him dead?
Oh, come now, father of magic. I know you, Angerboda said. I can sense you there below the surface of this dead wayfarer's memories. Clever, father of the slain, and it might have worked on some witch who hated you less. But show yourself, and let's end this game. For unwilling have I spoken, I would again be still.
Odin, the dead-eyed wolf of the sea, flexed his tail and broached the surface of the wayfarer's memories. Then he stepped from the wayfarer's guise, as one might step from shadow into light. The dead man's ragged clothes and cloak fell away as Odin's leathers and dark blue cloak reappeared. He kept only the broad-brimmed hat.
Go back to the ship of the dead, wayfarer. You served me well, and I will reward you for it.
Golden fire burned away the rude staff the wayfarer had held, and Gungnir emerged. Odin drove the spear into the barren soil. Golden fire kindled in the grasses and raced out to find and merge with the patterns and runes he had carved earlier. Angerboda flinched within the burning square. Her gaze darted from corner to corner, rune to rune. She had nowhere to go.
Then I know you, Angerboda, mother of three monsters, he said in a voice as hot as the flames he'd summoned. I seek from you all the answers to my questions. Tell me this. Who wields the branch? Who kills my son? Is it your husband?
Unwilling have I spoken. I would again be still.
She set her jaw and glared defiantly at him. Dawn's red light pooled atop the hill's bare crown.
You will speak, Angerboda. You will answer all my questions.
He raised Gungnir, and the golden flames tightened around Angerboda. She squirmed from the heat, clutching herself tight.
Unwilling have I spoken. I would again be still.
He lowered Gungnir's blade toward her, and the golden flames embraced her like a lover. She collapsed, screaming, a writhing tangle of spectral limbs.
Does Loki kill my son? He thundered. Speak, witch, and the agony ends.
He let her burn for the space of 9 heartbeats. Her shrieks reverberated atop the bare hill. Then he grounded Gungnir and the golden flames retreated to circle like wolves around her. Angerboda gasped and hunched in on herself, clutching her tattered clothing to her along with the swirling mists. She pushed herself up and met Odin's eye. Her voice was husky with pain.
Your eldest son by Frigg wields the far-famed branch.
Odin staggered away from the specter and the golden fire. He stared unseeing at the tops of the trees, at the rain-swept distant mountains to the north. His eyes moved westward toward the windswept sea, white caps just visible, that same sea over which the ship of the dead sailed. Hodur would kill Baldur? She turned away, cupping bare elbows and trembling fingers. The mists flowed in toward her. Her dead flesh, blackened from the flames, began knitting itself back together.
Unwilling have I spoken. I would again be still.
Her words barely registered. Hodur would kill his brother? It couldn't be true. Must not be true. Why would he kill his brother? Because Baldur was protected and he was not? Because he lost his eyes, yet Baldur lost nothing? How had he even learned Baldur's secret? No one knew it except Frigg and himself. No. Angerboda had to be lying. He spun back and lowered Gungnir. The flames rushed in, ravenous wolves. Her screams echoed as she thrashed and burned.
Tell me the truth, witch!
He withdrew the predatory golden flames and she lay still, breathing heavily among the tendrils of mist that wriggled across the blackened circle. She pushed herself up on scorched limbs. The morning mists slithered toward her. Her scorched flesh grew whole. Her dress, what was left of it, shifted like a limp sail. Head lowered, her voice in tatters, she whispered,
Unwilling have I spoken, Yig. But every word of it was true. You know the power both of your summoning and our bargain.
She met his gaze.
And know that I saw through your disguise almost immediately. Why do you think I agreed to hearing your wayfarer's tale? I wanted you to know in this moment that my words were true, were twice true, 3 times true.
He said nothing. Even if she was lying about seeing through his disguise, his power and their agreement ensured anything she said had to be true. She'd spoken cryptically, nastily, but her meaning was clear. Holder would kill Balder. He stared unseeing at the mist that continued to flow toward Angerboda, hiding her bare, burned flesh and helping it heal. Holder must have figured out, somehow, that the mistletoe harbored Balder's spirit. He must also have figured out a way to turn a fragile plant into a weapon. But that was the how. The why escaped him. Was it because Holder had been blinded while his brother was spared? Or was it that Holder resented, hated even, that his father and mother preferred their firstborn over him? Odin dismissed the golden flames and pulled his power back from the runes.
One last question before I allow you to rest, Mother of Grief. In your vision of what's to come, who wins vengeance for this deed?
Angerboda rose to her feet, clutching the remnants of her soiled, burned dress. Venom tinged her words.
You would hear the rest of my prophecy?
Of course I want to hear the rest.
How else could he stop it from occurring? His missing eye throbbed, and something furtive danced in the edges of that eye's sight. The eye he'd sacrificed was beginning to open. Learn the future. Stop it. Change it. Whatever was necessary. He'd need 3 nights, fewer if he pushed, to return to Gladsheim. But since he had no further need of a disguise, he would call Hugin and Munin and send them ahead to Frigg with what he'd learned. He could shout till he lost his voice. Perhaps that drunk fool would even hear him. Either way, Frigg could protect Balder and send someone to Ifington to stop Hother. His heart began to pound again, not with fury as it had moments before, but with hope. Even so, that feeling was nearly swamped by confusion when Angerboda spoke again.
Rin's son, your son Vali, at 1 night old will win vengeance for your dead son. He will not wash his hands, nor comb his hair till he brings the slayer of Balder to the flames.
Odin stared at her. This was the rest? Who was Rind? He would have a son by her?
He opened his mouth to demand more, but she spoke first.
You've had your prophecy, son of Burr. I will say no more, no matter what you do. Ride home now.
She drew herself up, the mist pooling about her bare feet, her eyes flashing like knives.
And be proud, Yig. For no one shall seek me again till my lover wanders free from his bonds, and his cousins, the Devourers, come to the last strife.
Angerboda raised a hand, but not in farewell.
May your path home be long and fraught with peril, Oathbreaker.
Too late he realized what all those tendrils of mist she'd pulled in had been. Even as he raised Gungnir, a dull throbbing struck him in the head. He staggered. His hands grew heavy, as if he'd spent a day plying the oars.
He had been deceived. The mists may have healed her, but she now used them for a much more terrible purpose.
A cloud passed before Sol. Gloom fell like a net over the hilltop. Over his mind. A black bird in the trees squawked and clattered up into the dull air. The beat of its wings sounded like laughter. He used Gungnir to steady himself and looked up at Angerboda. She stood, half-naked, pale, flesh still burned and scorched, mist pooling about her feet and flowing from her to him. She wore a look of triumphant, smug hatred.
What did you do, witch? You can't bind me. Not for long, at least. Never in life, and certainly not in death.
No, I can't. But I didn't need to bind you, Yig, just delay you.
He spoke a rune word that rumbled like distant thunder.
Back to your barrow, witch.
She flinched and scuttled back into her dank barrow. He looked up, seeking Sol, but she was lost behind the heavy pall of gray skies. His head throbbed and his feet dragged in the dead grasses. White mist dragged at his boots. His shoulders hunched beneath the burden of the colorless clouds. He leaned heavily on Gungnir. He just needed to reach Sleipnir. Then she could carry him to where again?
Gladsheim. Yes, home. Sleipnir rose like a gray cliff before him. She whinnied as he placed a hand on her neck and brought the reins back over her head.
"Let's ride quickly, Sleipnir. Back to—"
The heavy, cold rain began to fall. The man settled his broad-brimmed hat more firmly on his head, set one foot in the stirrup, and hauled himself up onto the giant horse. The horse shook her mane and pranced. Dead grasses and white mist twined their way around her legs.
"Easy now, girl,"
the man said, thumping her neck. He clucked his heavy tongue, and the gray horse started forward, picking a muddy road through a dark forest. That was the way back to...
Where was he headed?
Anywhere would do. For he was a wayfarer, and this gray horse, his ship. Well, folks, that was Chapter 78 of Kinsmen Die. I hope you enjoyed it. This scene is a continuation of my adaptation of Baldur's Draumr, one of the poems in the Poetic Edda. In that poem, a disguised Odin summons the spirit of a dead Cirrus and asks her questions about Baldur's dreams. In the poem, Baldur dreams that he dies. The line from the Bellows translation is this: "Why baleful dreams to Baldur had come." That is why Odin is there asking questions of the Cirrus. Or in the poem, she's called the Wise Woman. So Odin rides down to Niflhel, which is where Hel resides, to summon the dead witch's spirit. I chose to make that witch Angerboda, and I realized as I was going back through Baldur's Draumr that I'd forgotten a particular line, which I also used in the text of the chapter, which is, "No wise woman art thou, nor wisdom hast. Of giants three, the mother art thou." The footnotes in the Bellows translation ignore that verse, but those three giants are likely Fenrir, Hel, and Yorm, and I probably didn't reach that conclusion on my own, so I must have read it somewhere, and I've forgotten where. And I had also mentioned in a prior episode that the Cirrus was not Angerboda and that I chose to make her that, but clearly I had forgotten all of that, so I apologize. And Angerboda is, in fact, most likely, probably, the witch that Odin summoned in the poem. And she's definitely the witch that he summoned in the chapter. In the poem, Odin encountered Garm. We saw that in the prior chapter. He then rode to the witch's grave, and magic he spoke, and mighty charms, till spellbound she rose, and in death she spoke, "Here for Baldur the mead is brewed, the shining drink, and a shield lies o'er it." It's at that point in the poem that Odin, as the wayfarer, is shocked and disturbed at what the witch tells him. So he presses her for more information. "Who shall the bane of Baldur become, and steal the life from Odin's son?" And she answers, "Hoth thither bears the far-famed branch. He shall the bane of Baldur become, and steal the life from Odin's son." So in the poem, Odin goes on to press her for more information, which obviously I tried to dramatize in a cool way. In stanza 13 of the poem, the witch sees through Odin's disguise. She says, "Vegtam, thou art not, as erstwhile I thought. Odin thou art, the enchanter old." So it's clear from that line that she originally thought that the enchanter that came before him was actually Vegtam, but at some point in the preceding 12 stanzas, she figured out that Vegtam was in fact Odin. So I tried to do something similar across both chapter 76 and this chapter by hinting that Angerboda was sensing something that wasn't quite right about the wayfarer. Finally, both the poem and the chapter end with Angerboda cursing Odin. "Home ride, Odin, be ever proud, for no one of men shall seek me more till Loki wanders loose from his bonds, and to the last strife the destroyers come." I strengthened the curse for narrative purposes, which will shortly become apparent, while also slightly weakening the prophecy by removing Loki's name and replacing it with lover. And there's reasons for that, which I won't get into in this particular episode. And one final note, the word Eljudnir means the one dampened by rain. It is the name of Hel's Hall, according to Snorri's Prose Edda. Next week, we're back with Vidar. Until then, if you have the time and inclination, please rate or review the podcast. That helps boost the show's visibility, as does sharing it.
As always, I'm going to read from both the Bellows and Larrington translations of the Havamal, the sayings of the High One, Odin. And again, there's some weird numbering going on across the different translations, but as I mentioned last episode, this will resolve itself soon. Bellows, verse 78. Cattle die, and kinsmen die. And so one dies oneself. One thing now that never dies, the fame of a dead man's deeds. Larrington, verse 77. Cattle die, kinsmen die. The self must also die. I know one thing which never dies, the reputation of each dead man. Thanks for listening.